This episode is brought to you by Disney Plus.
If you're loving the new original series Rivals, then Rivals, the official podcast, is a must listen.
Hosted by the brilliant Pandora Sykes, this is your go-to for exclusive insights into how the steamy world of Rivals came to your screen.
Pandora dives into the juiciest moments and sauciest scenes alongside the creative masterminds behind Rivals, from executive producer Dominic Treadwell Collins to actors Danny Dyer and Emily Attek.
Listen to Rivals, the official podcast, but make sure you've streamed Rivals on Disney Plus first. You can't escape spoilers. Rivals, an original new series now streaming exclusively on Disney Plus.
Copyright 2024, Disney and its related entities, 18 plus subscription required. Learn more at DisneyPlus.com.
Kill List is a true story of how I ended up in a race against time to warn those whose lives were in danger. Follow Kill List wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to Kill List and more Exhibit C true crime shows like Morbid early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
Well, hello, and welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast for all that crap we love to discuss. It airs on Yule Bravs. Hello, I'm Ronnie. That's Ben. Hello, Ben.
Hi, Ronnie. How are you?
I'm good. I had a super classy morning this morning with my friend Ben over at the Sirius XM Radio Andy Station with Jeff Lewis and friends, yep. Shane, etc., Jameson, talking about our buttholes and poop, literally for an hour. So that was good. I for showed up feeling super classy. How are you?
I'm thrilled because I know how much you hate discussing all that. And I enjoy talking about, it's not that I enjoy poop. It's just that I enjoy the discussion of things like, you know, colonoscopies and toilets.
You sure do.
Actually, yes,
you had a chance to roam free. You know, you were like a free range Benjamin at that moment. You were a free range Benoon, and you know, I was happy for you.
Well, you really took the lead with the toilet discussion. And then the thing is that Jeff is getting a colonoscopy. So as soon as I mentioned that I had one,
I didn't mean to open this up for another hour of poop discussion. Okay, the poop
discussion is already traumatized. We can go back to talking about the waddle and skincare next. We can go back there.
Here we are. So no, today we're talking about Orange County because it is the season finale where everything happens. Really, not much does, but still it's fun. And it's sad to see it end because, God, I just love it. And after this, we are going to be recording Southern Charm. Well, actually, we already recorded it, but we're releasing it probably tomorrow, which is the Southern Charm trailer trash. That is where we pick apart trailers and make fun of them. I think that one was a good hour based on 2 minutes. And that's over on our Patreon, as well as our videos like this one. Today, we're on video on Patreon. So if you'd rather watch, go over there. It's much simpler now. It's been simplified. It's easy squeezy. Lemon peasy, get your teasy over to Patreon. Do you like that? I'm a poet. Okay, Ben, what did you think of Real Housewives of the Orange County?
Well, it was a delight. What a fun way to cap off the season. We had some nice dust-ups. We had Shannon having an irrational meltdown. We had a scandal. I would have liked them to have given the scandal a little bit more room to breathe. I felt like that was like a very rushed thing they tacked on at the end. Like they didn't even really sit down and explain the scandal. They just showed a whole bunch of headlines and then they just were talking about it and then it just was over. They could have let that breathe a little bit more. But overall, I was very delighted. What about you?
The scandal is suffocating. Let her breathe. I liked it. It was good. It's hard to follow up last week because last week was just mayhem, you know?
That's
so
true.
This one was Tamara. It's the thing where Tamara finally realized that what she's doing isn't really working. So she's like,
what do you mean I'm a villain? I'm not a villain. I'm just here to say sorry to everybody and hug. Why are they being mean to me? Why?
Where Tamara makes herself the ultimate villain. I mean, the ultimate villain, the ultimate victim. After a season of her nonstop villainy. And it's pretty good how she does it. You know, she's pretty dependable that way. You got to hand it to her.
Yeah, she really is. So we open up and the women are, they're back from London. And some of them are at a place called Whoop-Ax. Throwing, get it? It's a pun.
Well, an Emily scene. So she's going to pick some hacky thing that has been done 9 million times on these shows. So it's a typical Emily and Gina scene. Let's get wacky with axes. People love it. Babe, that's a little off trend. Okay. What do we, I think we're throwing babies now. Okay. Let's move it along, guys.
Yeah. So Gina's there and Emily's like, are you ready to throw some axes? She's like, couldn't we just like go to the mall? It's like, no, Heather won't let people into her house today. Okay. So Emily,
it would be nice if we didn't have axes thrown at us. You know, I've been having axes thrown at me for months with that crazy axe. And having axes thrown at me.
She's like, no, we're going to do axes. So then Shannon is going to come and they're talking about how they feel bad that Shannon left on an early flight, which of course Shannon left on a flight that was like 30 minutes before everyone else's, just to make a point. Yeah. And you know, she ended up in some coach seat with, you know, chickens being stored overhead, like on Romancing the Stone or some shit. And she's like,
well, it is worth it to show them how much I don't need them.
Some 60th birthday I had. And we see flashbacks of them at Heathrow, and Heather's like, did you all know that Shannon left? And they're like, yeah, we heard her leave. Because of course, Shannon probably left the hotel like, well, I'm just going to go on my own. I'm just going to leave on my own because I'm so mad. I'm mad. I'm leaving on my own. If anyone wants to come out of the door and say, Shannon, don't go. You should stay with us. It's a group trip. We want you to be here. Now dance.
No? I don't want to make a big deal out of it. You know, I'm just going to pack my leaving on a jet plane. My crash. They did crash that one. Oh, God. I'm sorry. Hold on. I left something back in the room. Hold on. Boop, how? Boop, there. Boop, you. How dare you? I'm back. That was my code. That was my self-set code.
So they're just talking about how it was so much with Shannon and Tamara going at each other, and then we have flashbacks to like all this messiness, and Gina's like, you know what, Tamara and Shannon are both at fault, and the thing is Shannon's actually working on herself. And then we go back a day prior to this axe thing with Shannon and Gina are at a park with Archie, and Shannon's like, you know what, Gina, I feel horrible. Had I remembered that all that had transpired before, I absolutely would have come clean to you. But it didn't make any sense for me to do that, so I didn't. So I just feel terrible for that, Gina.
And I like that Gina is kind of reasonable here. She's like, you know what? Thank you, because you had this fake news information and you didn't bring it up. And that's important. And so that was kind of my point. Like, how are you going to hold it against her? She never brought it up. I mean, it's not a crime being nosy. You know, curiosity didn't kill the cat. Gossiping right. about the shit you found out killed that cat. That's when you should kill the cat. Okay.
Well, I mean, to play devil's advocate, literally, Tamara would say, well, she didn't bring it up only because she reached out to someone and they couldn't find enough evidence for it. But if she had been able to find the evidence, she would have brought it up. But because Shannon didn't have enough of a case, she didn't. And now Gina's like, you know what? You could have brought a half-baked case against me on TV, but thank you for not bringing it up.
Well, yeah.
Had enough evidence.
But also, we saw from the text, the actual text, that those searches for evidence were not against Gina at all. They were against someone that Leslie Bedore was involved with, her ex.
No. This, I think, was about the Gina pushing someone down the staircase, pushing Travis down the staircase. Because Leslie Bedore thing was that was a different background check.
It was a different one. You're right. I think that in this case, though, I'm still going to defend her because people bring up half baked cases all the time, and that was in the blogs. So
yeah,
that was fair to bring up. She could have said, I've read in the blogs that you are abusive towards your husband, you know? Yeah. And people have done that with her, you know, the other way around. They brought abuse onto Shannon's storyline. So I think that, you know, that might have, I don't know, she could have, and she didn't. So I
she
like
could have and she didn't.
Like, you know, yeah, Gina's like, thank you for not bringing it onto the show, you know?
Right. And Gina's like, I don't know if I could say the same thing for Tamara. So Emily's like, oh, by the way, did you hear about Jen? She's like, no, what happened? She's like, oh, I'm going to let her tell you. So Jen saunters in all proudly, her knuckles dragging on the floor because there is a literal, like, Epcot Center-sized diamond on it now.
Always legit. Always legit. The guys that give you those, totally legit. And they're like, oh, my God, you got engaged? And she's like, yes, in the fucking Bahamas. Can you believe it? Thank you. Thank you so much, you guys. And that is amazing. That's huge. And I like this point that she made. She's like, you know, it's a nice ring and everything, but like, couldn't you just pay the rent? Which is a good point. He's like, I will not pay your rent so that you are forced to move into me and my life of luxury, but I will buy you a giant ring to show off.
Yeah. Yeah, we see like some footage of him popping the question in the Bahamas, and like Jen throws her phone down into the onto the beach because she can sense the engagement's about to happen. And it's like, don't, girl, like, you keep your phone in your hand because you don't want to have to pay for a new one. That's almost as expensive as one of these rings.
Husbands come and go, but your boyfriend, your cell phone's going to date you forever. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Treat some respect is what I say. Also, we know that ring is fake, right? That ring has to be fake.
It's got to be. It's got to be fake.
It's Ryan. Or do you think he's just that loaded? That's like one of his ways of like laundering some money, get a big expensive diamond. I mean, I don't know, but.
I don't know. It was actually too big, I thought. It was too big. Yeah. It was like unpleasantly big.
Yeah, it was pretty big. So then we cut back to the Bahama footage. And she's like, we're engaged. Oh, my God, we are so engaged. So then Shannon comes and she's like, well, is anybody ready to whoop some axe? Oh, that is funny. I'm so happy. Happy Shannon.
Shannon says it as if like that was not the intention of naming the place Whoop Axe. She's like, oh, I don't know if they realized it, but actually, if you say the name of the business very quickly, it sounds like whooping ass. I don't think they realized that. That's very funny. Very funny.
Yeah. So they're like, do you feel better? And she's like, oh my God. And she's like, I was just done. I was done in London. Tamara, you come back to us, Shannon. Not yet. You just walked in. Don't walk out already.
I'm back. Oh God. Does anybody have a taco in their purse?
I do.
I knew it. I was just trying to make myself feel better. You absolute heathen of a woman. All right, what are we talking about?
And then Jen puts her hand out. Are you freaking serious? Did John Jansen give this to you? I swear to God, if he's moved on to another woman in this group, I will not be able to take it. She's like, no, this is from Ryan. And it is serious. Wow. You know what? Everyone was talking down to you saying it's not going to work. And you proved everybody wrong with this extremely ostentatious display of wealth and love that does not indicate whether or not it's going to last, but at least is large.
So your man, who is about to be indicted, has asked you to marry him so you can't testify with a giant ring that's probably fake. Seems totally legit. Congratulations.
Well, I just hope you don't find him walking on the beach with some slut in about 2 years. But anyway, good luck to you.
Oh, actually, that was me. So
what? I you know what? I'm going to go. I'm leaving. I'm back. It's my toxic trait. I always come back.
Oh, so then Gina's like, I'm so happy for her, and I hope it genuinely works out. But instead of a ring, he should have paid a rent. So then Corey, the owner of Whoop Axe, is like, hey, ladies, I'm Corey, and I own a place called Whoop Axe. What do you think of that?
Okay.
Anyone want a ring share? That would be great.
Yeah, so listen, you just hold it like this, and then you just like let it dangle and just like throw it.
Oh, sure. Yes. Okay, can I try one? Okay, ladies, I am going to throw an axe.
And Shannon throws her axe and it just bounces off the target and lands on the ground, which just feels very, very Shannon.
Yeah, and to make her angry, they're putting up a flashback of Tamara screaming in her face, you're a die in a truck, bitch! And so she throws it, thinking of angry Tamara. And she doesn't make it, but those axes are still good wax. I mean, I think someone would still be very hurt because she got it. She got it in the middle. Yeah.
Yeah, it just bounced off of it. Yeah, but it would have been hurtful. So then everyone's doing the axes and everything, and Emily gets a bullseye and it's all fun and everything. And Jen's like, so everyone, guys, now that we've thrown some axes, in honor of this axe, we're going to have a party that will feature lots of that body spray, I'm sure, from the people who are going to go to it. So, we're going to do a party. Cause you know, I went to dinner with the girls the other night. So now we have more unseen footage. And this time it's Jen and Katie and Alexis, and they're talking about planning her a party for her engagement.
Yeah, Alexis is like, we have to plan your party. That's fun, Alexis. What should we do? So they decide they're going to do a bridesmaids party with ugly bridesmaids dresses and stuff. So, you know, she's like, oh, but I have a question. Guys, I'm supposed to meet with Tamara tomorrow. Can you believe it?
with Tamara tomorrow. And, you know, she wants to show me some evidence. And she says she's got proof that's going to finally turn me against you, Shannon. So, you know what? I'm just going to tell her, I'm so sorry. But as someone who's almost married again, I just don't have time. It's just very difficult. I was going to come, but my arms are very sore from lifting up this ring. But thank you so much for the invite, Tamara. Thank you so much.
Yeah, but then do you feel like if you don't talk to her before your party, she might corner you at your party and end up having a conversation there?
And Shannon goes, no, she won't do that. She absolutely won't do that. Am I lying to you in hopes that Tamara will do that and this will therefore make her seem like an even worse friend? Perhaps. So either way, though, no, Tamara absolutely will never come. You know, Tamara is known for absolutely never confronting people, never cornering them, especially at season finales.
Surely Tamara is not as morally bankrupt as Jen is physically bankrupt. And she would never do that. I would hope not. I would hope not.
So then Tamara's at home and the doorbell rings and it's fun time Lexi. And she's Alexis has like some Clorox wipes with like a bow on it. And she's like, so I brought you this so we could clean up the shit that we're about to have to talk about. And so Tamara's like, oh my God, I missed you so much, bitch. So they hug. And Alexis comes in. They start to sit and talk. And gossip.
And this is a flashback, sorry. This is a flashback. I was like, Heather's coming.
I was like, so okay, I'm like, Cue Ronnie.
I know. You're like, it was just off stage. You just hear me running back from a smoke break.
I'm sorry. Like, okay, I'll take it.
There's no business like show business.
So they start making, you know, she's talking about how amazing it is with Johnny J. And she's, you know, she's sure that her engagement is coming up very soon, guys. And, you know, there's just something I have with this man. It's just unbelievable, undeniable. It is amazing and fun, Lexi and Johnny J. And Tamara's like, oh, yeah, I can't wait to attack you next year. I've been the stupid slut because you haven't taste you. Can't wait. And then they start talking about Jen's engagement.
Yeah. But by the way, they do have a John Jansen confessional where he's like, I have never been more confident in anything in my life. We will be together for the rest of our lives. And then they show a flashback 2023. He's like, I have never been more confident in anything in my life. I will be with Shannon for the rest of my life.
And Shannon's like, yeah, you know, the second week he looked at me and he said, you're my future. And then I said, oh, yeah, I know.
Flashback.
Little did I know he meant lawsuit, but he wasn't wrong.
Guess I should have let him finish the sentence, but I got excited. You know, I saw his son on a little boat nearby, and I was like, is that John Jansen's son? Hi! No, you know what? Guess what? It's a plastic bag. Never mind.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
In a quiet suburb, a community is shattered by the death of a beloved wife and mother. But this tragic loss of life quickly turns into something even darker. Her husband had tried to hire a hitman on the dark web to kill her. And she wasn't the only target. Because buried in the depths of the internet is the kill list, a cache of chilling documents containing names, photos, addresses, and specific instructions for people's murders. This podcast is the true story of how I ended up in a race against time to warn those whose lives were in danger. And it turns out convincing a total stranger someone wants them dead is not easy. Follow Kill List on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to Kill List and more Exhibit C true crime shows like Morbid early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus. Check out Exhibit C in the Wondery app for all your true crime listening.
Have you ever wondered who created that bottle of sriracha that's living in your fridge? Or why nearly every house in America has at least one game of Monopoly? Introducing the best idea yet, a brand new podcast from Wondery and T-Boy about the surprising origin stories of the products you're obsessed with and the bold risk takers who brought them to life. Like, did you know that Super Mario, the best-selling video game character of all time, only exists because Nintendo couldn't get the rights to Popeye? Or Jack, that the idea for the McDonald's Happy Meal first came from a mom in Guatemala? From Pez dispensers to Levi's 501s to Air Jordans, discover the surprising stories of the most viral products. Plus, we guarantee that after listening, you're going to dominate your next dinner party. So follow the Best Idea Yet on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to the Best Idea Yet early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus. It's just the best idea yet.
So they're talking about Jen's engagement, and Tamara's like,
oh, yeah, I texted it because I saw the ring. I said, congratulations. Congratulations. A champagne bottle emoji. I truly am happy for you. Pass them on top of a dumpster emoji. You deserve all the happiness in the world. Heart emoji. I'm looking forward to talking with you about the text. And pineapple emoji. I think you'll think things differently. Eagle emoji. American flag emoji. Emoji emoji. Donald Trump emoji. Orange emoji. Lady going like this emoji. Polish flag emoji. XOXO.
And Alexis, like, that ring is freaking gorgeous. And Tamara's like, is it? It's like, yeah, it's gorge. Like, she's so happy. And like, so I'm gonna like throw her a party. And Tamara's like, okay, what's the theme? Horrible bridesmaids dresses. Oh yeah, so like Orange County fashion? Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. The theme is tacky bridesmaids dresses.
So like a night at the country club.
Yes, pretty much.
So like the Alexis Bellino, Alexis Couture fashion show. Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. And it's like,
well, thanks to Shannon, now I'm not in a great place with Jen's getting engaged. And you know, what she did was bullshit. Thanks to her.
Oh, hurts, doesn't it? You don't like that whole shit stirring when it comes back to you. Uh-huh. Use their own weapons against them, my son.
Yeah. So now we see a flashback of Katie and Alexis doing a walkthrough at this venue. The venue is called, like, I don't think it's pronounced this way, but it is definitely spelled Agape, A-G-A-P-E. I think it's probably pronounced like Agape.
It's Agape. Yeah, it's Agape. It's a Christian thing, I believe.
Is it? I'm like, uh-huh. of course, like, they would have a party at a place called Agape because that's just sort of like the vibe of the show.
Yeah, so, even when I was growing up, there were so many things called Agape. So really? I'm trying to see. Yeah. Agape is the highest form of love and charity and the love of God for human beings and of human beings for God. Guys, it's mutual love with God. Agape. Can't wait till this ugly bridesmaids party. Oh my God. That pink frill is lovely. And you know who else loves it? God. Thank you so much, God. Thank you so much.
Hey, God. We love you so much. We wanted to honor you with some tacky bridesmaids dresses from the 80s. Lots of ruffles for God.
It would be funny if it was just called Agape, though.
So we're going to a place called Agape, and I think it's gonna be a great parody.
It's basically my nickname in high school, so that should be fun.
So yes, sorry.
So Tamara's like,
well, I went back into my text message, and I had a text, and it was about this long.
And so she shows us the text thing between her and Shannon. Between her and Shannon.
And Eddie said to send the info and write into production so you have a paper trail.
And Shannon's like, well, apparently Blank is suing Blank for back child support. Can your friend look up the case? See, they're just showing it again that Tamara's blowing pure smoke here.
I like that Shannon writes texts like she is in a video game, giving your assignment for the level. It's like, hello there. Apparently, Blank is suing Blank for the back child support. Can your friend look up the case? And you're like, you have 15
avoid
minutes.
Avoid being seen or you'll be out.
It's like, this is the way you start a level on GoldenEye.
Yeah.
Your assignment is as follows. This message will self-destruct, like my marriage.
So she's like,
and Shannon asked me, can you get your friend look into this? She took a screenshot about this much from what I was hearing, that little liar.
And then we see another screenshot. And it says, I'm asking my friend's husband to do a background check.
So she basically tried to destroy my friendship with Jen.
I was like, yeah, you're both kind of at fault. You've been coming for Jen for two seasons now. I don't know, like, why you're going to cry this whole episode. But
yeah, I'm like, you know who else destroyed your friendship with Jen? You. Do you not remember going to Katie's party and like going hard in the paint for Ryan? Please. So you call it, we literally see a montage later in the episode of you going,
little bitch, he's a little bitch.
So Alexis is like, what Shannon is doing to Tamara and Jen is the same thing she does with Johnny, which is she writes her own narrative that's not the truth. And then Tim was like, I don't even want to go backwards. I don't want to talk to my Ryan. I want to support her. And that's it, bitch.
And she's like, well, all you need to do is bring the proof because Shannon is a liar face. I'll tell you that much. Bring the pudding, babe. Bring the pudding because proof is in pudding. Bring pudding. I don't eat pudding. It's disgusting, bitch.
Damn it, so I really should have brought some pudding instead of this Clorox prop. Pudding would have been a better prop. God, Lexi, mm-hmm. You can do better.
So we go to Katie's house, Tamara's house, Nikki's house, and Ryan's house. Nikki's house at Loyola Marymount, I guess, the son. So we're seeing what everybody's house, doing that day.
I just want to point out, Nikki's house has already surpassed Gina's house. It's very, and he's like 17.
So Ryan, we see Ryan first, and they're sitting with Dawson, and she's like, straight talk between me and you, right, Dawson? Stumbled out of bed and tumbled to the kitchen. Mom, that's not straight talk. That's 9 to 5. Still, though, God, I love her. Thank you for knowing her, IMDb. God, I love Dolly. So anyway, what were we talking about? How I don't want to live with you anymore. Right, right. But I keep reading GED. Is that, you're not going to get a GED, do you? You know, that's one letter away from God. That's not very agape of you.
Is this a male lover that you have named Jed? You know, I'm very open. You can tell me these things. He's like, Mom, I want to join the Marines. Really? Yes, I dislike living here so much. I would rather risk my life than be under this roof anymore. Goodbye.
Yeah, I'm wondering how it's working out the dad's one-bedroom apartment or whatever the hell he's moved to, you know? He's like, okay, you know what? Sign me up. I'm going to go fight some wars.
Marines. Yeah, I mean, the global situation is pretty chill right now, so, you know, no
super,
big deal.
Yeah, super chill time to join, you know, especially just because you can't think of anything to do and you don't want to go to school. That's always the best reason to join the military. Not because you really care about saving the country or, like, helping or, you know, protecting whatever. You're just like, you know what? My dad's studio smells like balls, and I'm too proud to go back to my mom's lover's studio, so I guess it's the Army. Guess is that yep. You have no bowling alleys to work at? I mean, we need a safer place for children to escape. You know?
Well, it's either the Army or trying to make it in Hollywood. So, you know, hey, he's doing something I wouldn't do. Yeah, exactly. So, Jen is
looser in one place than the other, though. Well, I mean, yeah, I don't know. I guess it depends on what kind of porn you watch. All right, no one needs to hear that. So let's go on to Dawson being like, yeah. I'm totally into the Marami. She's like, it's the Marines, honey. Right. Super excited. They're the ones that fly. No, honey, they're the sea ones. Right. Totally into it. Can't wait. Top Gun. They fly too, actually.
Shit. I'm just so excited you decided to go into baseball. That's the Mariners, Mom. Oh. Okay. So anyway, good for him. Good for him. So Nikki, we now go to Nikki's house, and Heather's like, I really love the path you're on now, especially because this path has been laid with beautiful bricks and has lovely lights on the side and is only available for Bentleys to go down. I know you really didn't want to go to college and you want to stay home and look out the window at our neighbor Drake, but this is good that you did this.
You know, he's like, well, why would I want to go to college? You guys basically walked so I could run away from any kind of education the rest of my life. You're rich as fuck. Why would I need to go to college? And she's like, well, listen, of course I want you to learn things, but look, you've got your real estate license. You sold your first home. You're going abroad. And whether you realize it or not, you're getting life skills. You know, most people take a lot of practice having money put into their account and having clients handed to them to sell their first piece of real estate. It's a lot to juggle. It's a lot to juggle.
See, it's great because now you can learn how to say, move this pillow for me, Alfredo, in different languages. Going abroad, you're learning so many wonderful life skills. So he's like, yay, as Dad would say. And Heather's like, you know, this is what you raise your kids to do, to be healthy, independent, functioning humans who happen to be actually rather dependent and maybe not so functional humans on your wealth.
Yeah, she says later in the episode something about him being the number. He sold the biggest piece of real estate or something of all of Orange County. I'm like, yeah, because Josh Altman is just handing you the shit because you give Josh your listing. So he's just handing this kid stuff for doing nothing. I mean, come on. She's like, he's totally making it on his own. Nah,
yeah,
he's not. But I mean, still good for him, you know?
Yeah, good for him. I mean, I'm not going to begrudge people their success, but I just think it's very funny. I just think it's funny how they're talking about life skills.
Yeah.
It's just like, now you know that there are other Nobus you can go to and put your flatware in there.
For example, I learned when things were really rough for me how to tell Reba McEntire no when she kept handing you a cloth to wash her car. Very important. Very important. I can't swish. I can't swish. She had me with the car saying, just wave your arms. I'll drive past you and you can just swish.
I guess.
Madeline. Your world really not Madeline. Stop calling me Madeline.
You'll really find that your world opens up when you realize that they have no idea who Wendy Malick is in France.
So good for him. He's like, thanks for giving me such an amazing life. Which that's so cute. You know, at least he's grateful.
Yeah, good
so
for they hug. Awesome. Good for both kids. They both, you know, they're doing things with their life. And, you know, we've seen it go the other way on this show. So you know what? Godspeed. And
we're currently seeing it go the other way on this show. with Dawson, their first example. They're like, here's sad Jen. Wow, look, here's amazing Nikki. You know,
I was thinking more like, you know, Lynn Curtin, the OC Angels. I feel like Dawson is like Bill Gates right now compared to what's happened over there. So
that's true. Yeah,
that's really
so then. Tamara is in the room with Sophia's room, and Sophia's like, listen to my music. This is the best part. And it's like really nice, like alternative chick music. It's like,
yeah.
Your mom may be a bitch, but you don't have to be. You don't have to be your mom. Oh, it's my mom. Oh, it's my mom. Oh, I'm so scared. Oh, it ended like that because the main character gets murdered at the end.
The song is called Did You Go to Bass Lake? And so Tamara's like,
well, you didn't get your music ability from me, bitch.
And
I literally got no ability from you. Were there any that you were planning to pass on?
No, I only got your love of calculus, mother.
So she's like, wow, you wrote it, you sang it, you did what's it called, the beats? She's like, I produced it, mom. She's like, I'm so proud of you. I think you should take some music classes.
Who wants to hear that after they just played a song they produced? You know,
I know that was also like, that was not what I was expecting her to say next.
Yeah, that sounds really good for someone who has no idea what a musical note is, so go ahead.
So she's like, yeah, I know it's my passion, but like music industry is tough. Which is very much what I'd expect from someone from Gen Z to say. It's like, yeah, it's tough. Guess what? All the industries are tough. There's no industry that's not tough. That is the little secret. When people say, oh yeah, I mean, the music industry sucks and it's shady as fuck, but you know what? You got to start somewhere. So get to it, Sophia.
Get with it, Sophia. You can do it. She actually sounds really talented. So
yeah, it was good.
When I was in high school, I wanted to go to the Fashion Institute, but then I had a newborn baby to ruin my goddamn life.
We see a little picture of baby Ryan, like there. He's like got a red. He's got a red cap on. Like,
Tell me you didn't go to a Fashion Institute without telling me. Cut to Tamara wearing that giant ruffle flower on her chest. It's like, really, you never made it to the Fashion Institute. I never would have dreamed.
God, after 18 years of this show, I never would have guessed that you were never educated in us. So then, that you know, this is just like, and everybody's kids are doing great. So now we go to Katie's house, and she's with the kids, with Matt. And they're talking about how the name change receipt came in the mail. So Kaylee is now Kaylee Janella.
Yeah. And because she's disassociating with her biological father, and she says she'd rather change her name to a family that loves and appreciates her instead. And so, you know, Katie's talking about how sometimes, you know, you are blessed with a family, and sometimes you get to pick your family, and also, you know, Heather's mean. And so then Katie's, she's like, did I just say that in front of my children again? So that's a nice moment. And then we go over to Gina's house where Clover and Meatball, the dogs, go into like a crate kind of thing, which is what they call it Dog Gina House. And so Gina's like, she's like, oh my God, Meatball, do you want to go to puppy jail too? Should we check on daddy? Hey, Meatball, just so you know, I feel bad about this, but I put up a divider in the middle of your puppy house. Sorry.
And he is putting together like IKEA furniture or something. He's like, I've gotten 4 screws in. She's like,
God, I love him. He's just so charismatic. Like, it's amazing. I can't imagine living without Travis. You know, I wish he was here right now.
I am here.
Oh, right. Doing great, honey. You're doing great.
Honey, I'm like so proud of you that you got 4 screws into that plank over the past 6 hours. You're doing great. I'm so glad that you're back here now.
So he took care of the kids while she was in London. And he's like, here, it's me holding down the fort for you as usual. She's like,
yeah, you know, it's really nice that we got you to rely on, okay.
And then he starts like getting really like mopey and crying. He's like, well, I really don't like the decision that you made to remove yourself from my toxic ex, who I refused to divorce for whatever reason, for some unexplained reason. How selfish. And she's like, oh my God, maybe it is. He goes, when things get tough, that's when you run. Yes, it's not her job to fucking go through hell because you have a crazy ex that you can't stop fighting with. That's not her job. Things are getting tough because you guys made it tough. You go figure that shit out. Things getting tough and you stick with it, or like one of you gets sick, the other one's supposed to stay with you, or you know, one of you loses their job, the other one helps support you through it. It's not like deal with my crazy ass ex forever, you know, in that toxic relationship. No, sir, you fucking mopey ass. And be better at putting IKEA furniture together, too. I'm not always Gina's biggest fan, but I definitely want better for Gina. This guy is such a mopey fuck, and he just wants housing at this point. No, go, shoot.
You know, a wise man once said, when the going gets tough, the tough gets going. That was Billy Ocean. So anyway, I think that Gina does have a... Yeah, it was a sad back. Great song.
But how could he
great
not?
You know what I mean? Song. When the going gets tough. Was that from the Jewel of the Nile song? The tough gets
going. When the going gets rough.
The tough gets going. Yeah.
The original draft was, when the going gets tough, Gina runs away. I just didn't really have... But you know what, though? The music industry is hard, and they made him change the lyrics. So I understand why Sophia is reticent to dive in. But
my ex puts a break through your windshield. I get going. God, how could you do that?
And in fact, Caribbean Queen was originally called Orange County Queen. Orange County Queen! Now we're living in a very small house! It was about Gina also. Billy Ocean really was singing about Gina way before Gina was even alive.
So they're both crying because it's like so much toxicity with the ex. And he's like, I don't think it was the right decision. I still don't. And, you know, I just want you to get to the whole point, though, where there's adversity. Instead of pulling away, you're pulling in. Fuck off. Go fix your life, you fucking codependent weirdo. This is bad sign for the future. When your partner wants what's best for him over what's best for you, that's a very bad sign about your future. I don't care if she says he's nice. I don't buy it.
Yeah, but it could also go the other way, because Gina also, like, what's best for Travis is that he wants to be with Gina, and she's like, bye, this is what's best for me. So theoretically, you could say it goes the other way. The thing is with Gina is it is a toxic situation. So like, whether or not she's made the right choice, it's still kind of murky to say. Like, if she feels it's the right choice and she's got kids involved, and this is a crazy, crazy ex, so it probably is the right choice. But she does kind of have a pattern of cutting and running when she's uncomfortable with a situation. That's why she ditches a friend at the start of every single season. And she's even like, she's just anything. She's like, I would get out of the air. I'm like, oh, I'm sorry. I'm out of the air. Like, that is kind of her issue that she does deal with a lot. So it's not totally off base that she needs to stop running.
Well, I think you don't have to commit to bad situations just to be like seen as more reliable or whatever, or more steadfast. I think that if a relationship's bad or there's some bullshit and it's hurting your kids, and you're allowed to just say, I cut this. And let's face it, you know, the other stuff, and I know this is so weird hearing me turn pro Gina all of a sudden, but you know, okay. Even thinking back on it, like the Shannon stuff always really bugged me, because I thought Shannon really wanted them to be friends, and she just went and betrayed Shannon for like some airtime. You know, there's been a lot of shit that Gina's done on the show that's really uncool. But the Heather Dubrow thing, I kind of got. Where Heather Dubrow just spent that whole season like, oh, hello, poor person. Would you like some free clothes? Would you? Should I crawl into your little, you know, crawl space to help you get rid of that hideous wedding dress? You know, just so condescending. And then she was like, I don't want to hang out with that girl anymore. And then it was this huge, how could you treat me like that? Because you're horrible to be around, you know? So I'm kind of starting to see her point in a way and just being like, yeah, if you don't like the situation, jet, you know, life is short.
Yeah, but she did it to Emily also. And she also didn't, she never said to Heather, you know what? I just don't like you. I realize I don't like you. She just was like, oh no, I've been there. You're giving me a bad friend. Nice.
You just say, if I don't like you, who does that? Hey, I don't like you.
That's fair. I literally was confronted by someone over the weekend being like, was there something I've done, Ben? Why don't you invite me over? And I was like, no, just your hideous personality. Yeah, no, you haven't done anything wrong.
Okay, so then we go to Shanna's house, and Shanna's getting her hair did, and she's, you know.
By the way, I just want to say, the person who cuts and runs the most is me, everyone. That's why I just want to put that out there. I am the master cutter and runner. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Like, if someone annoys me, I'm like, bye.
Yeah, I mean, time is precious, you know? Like, every day as I see my waddle droop a little bit more, I'm like, there's so much I could be doing right now, you know, before I'm tripping over this thing. I just don't have time for nonsense.
That's exactly what I was going to say. So, anyway.
Jeff mentioned that breast milk gets rid of your waddle. So if anybody wants to ship me some breast milk, I'm here.
You don't have a waddle. I'm sorry. You don't have one. I was just looking at your face.
I'm not being insecure. It's right here. It's like literally there. You can't say it's not there. It's like telling a rooster he doesn't have a waddle. Of course he has a waddle, you know? Yeah. It's okay. It's not something I hate myself for. It's just, you know, the next thing I want to get taken care of because I'm going to take care of business.
That's the thing you want to cut and run.
Listen, I'm known for my neck, so I can't just be just kidding. I've never been known for these gyms, but
his neck is the most iconic element of this podcast.
What a graceful swan neck.
Your neck is mother. Your neck is mother.
My neck is icon. You know what? There's a reason that Patreon pays our bills, because my neck. People can come to see my neck on Patreon. It's like OnlyFans for waddles.
It's your neck. It's your back. It's your pussy and your crack.
Well, they're all kind of becoming the same thing at this point, which is my point. Get your
money. Yeah, everything just becomes a crevasse.
Yeah, just one big stupid bag draped over a chair.
The point is this: I come down hard on Gina because, you know, we come down hard on the people that we see ourselves in, and unfortunately, I see way too much of myself in Gina. So, Gina, that's your lot in life.
Well, but to be fair, Gina also sucks most of the time. She's just having a really good last half of the season, and I'm very easily manipulated. You know, I mean, I can be like that with anybody that makes me crazy. If they're just good for a few episodes, I'm like, oh my God, I love them now. And everything they've ever done is right. Let's justify every single thing that they've ever done. You know, I'll start seeing it from a different perspective.
Yeah, Gina's had both a terrible season and a very good season, somehow like side by side. I don't know how she's done it. Like, she started off the season horrifically, and then she was like, all right. And then she still had some moments where I was like, oh, fuck you, Gina. But I think overall she's like, she's done a pretty good job this season. I don't know. Or maybe I just feel bad. I'm not sure.
Yeah, she definitely shaped it up. Okay, so then Vicky goes over to Shannon's house, and they're talking about dresses and stuff like that because they're tacky bridesmaids' dresses and stuff. And Vicky's like, you know what? These aren't tacky dresses. And Shannon's like, well, those are the dresses that you just smashed in a bag. She goes, oh, my God, I forgot the dresses. Oh, geez. Oh, God, I've got to go. I got they're in the car. She goes, well, where's your car? At the office. Oh, God. I'm going to have to call Linda. Jesus.
I left him in the family van. And then we go to Ryan's home, and Jen's getting her hair done, and her friend is there. I feel so bad for her friend because some random friend is there. And you know it was a situation where Jen was like, hey, Mary, come on over. Yeah, you want to do glam with me before my party? She's like, no, I'm just going to do it at home. I'll just meet you at the party. No, come to my place. It'll be really fun. She's like, no, I don't know if I want to be seen on camera getting glam. Come on, Mary. So Mary comes over. And lo and behold, the scene unfolds where Jen is in glam, and then they cut to Mary half in makeup, looking wild. And then we never see her.
They cut to Mary looking like the bottom of a foot. I mean, what did Mary do to deserve this?
And Mary's like, thanks. Thanks a lot, Jen. This is how America sees me, in half glam with only foundation on, my hair going in all different directions, and I'm just like the friend. And you never see me again looking beautiful. Thanks a lot.
Yeah. And she's like, okay, well, I'll make it better, though. I'm about to make out with the guy who just put a $10 trillion ring on my finger. Okay. And they start making it out in front of this poor girl.
And then we go over to Emily and Shane. And Emily's like, should I wear this for a tacky bridesmaid dress? And it's like her OG wedding gown. And Shane's like, is that the dress you wore when we got married? And she's like, oh, no, it's 18 years old. And he's like, I still have your bouquet. It's sort of like our marriage. It's all dry. It's lost its color. And there's no life left in this thing.
King of Sarcasm, bouquet edition.
It's been a long time, but he's back, the King of Sarcasm.
At the end of the season, we gotta throw one in there. Hey, do you have a bouquet that needs to be roasted? Call Shane Simpson, the King of Sarcasm, at 555-1234.
He's really been holding back the past few years because he was so villainized the first year for his King of Sarcasm stuff. But I'm glad to see him giving us the old college try coming back.
He just needed a prop. And in this case, a 15-year-old dried out bouquet.
Yeah. So then we go to Katie's and Katie and Mast. No, not their house, but they're the first to arrive at Agape. And so they're walking around talking about how pretty it is. It's like pretty, you know, it's like a wedding or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then Alexa, you know, this is a lot of just people walking in and saying hi and you look tacky and stuff like that.
Yeah, it's and like this is definitely a party that Alexis designed because there's like Gather font all over the place, everywhere. It might as well just say Gather. And so Katie's like, I know, look at this place. Isn't it like absolutely beautiful? And Katie's like, yes, absolutely. They meet Alexis meets Matt and everything. And they're just laughing about tacky because Alexis is actually dressed sort of modestly and not tacky. Katie has a giant ruffle that's going up and around her head and everything, and Alexis is just like normal looking, and she's like, no, it's not tacky. It's not tacky. It's crazy. I know. I'm sorry.
Yeah. So then we go for a fun Shannon scene. She's in the SUV with Vicky, and she's like, oh my God, I have to lay down because I don't want wrinkles. I don't want to. Oh, I'm dead. I'm dead in the car. This is what you do if you want to be hilarious on television. Do not make me sit up to get wrinkles.
And then there's like a gay in the back seat and he goes, oh, it doesn't even matter. It's supposed to be semi-raunchy, the party. I'm like, sir, semi-raunchy and tacky are very different things. Yeah. And if it was supposed to be semi-raunchy, how in the world are any of you guys fitting the dress code right now?
Yeah, it's like, can't wait to go to this cocky ring bridesmaids party.
Wait a minute, you're in a cock ring?
Yeah, I'm going to take off my pants the minute we walk in the door. It's a raunchy party.
Stop it.
So then we go.
Give me a fist? Do it, I dare you.
It's not that kind of party. What kind of gay is this?
So then we go back to Agape, and more people are showing up. And then in, by the way, throwback, Joe De La Rosa. Joe De La Rosa Gray. She arrives. Throwback to season one, season two. I don't think she made it to season three, but Joe, the one of the true OGs, along with our own Victoria, has made her grand return to Orange County.
Yeah, she sure has. And, you know, this was coming up all season. They were hinting at this because, well, Joe was. She was on her Instagram like, look at me. I'm in Orange County now, everybody. Wink, wink. Might be doing something fun soon. Wink, wink. Has Orange County in the title. Literally, wink, wink. Oh, my God. I'm married now. I'm rich. Everything's wink, winky. And then I guess was this?
I guess
back in Orange after this one. Although I never will forget Joe because her first episode was like, yeah, I'm with this guy who just wants to take care of me and it sucks. I mean, they just sit around the house all day. And then it cuts to Joe just opening a cabinet and closing a cabinet and opening a cabinet. And I was like, the improv is top notch on this show back in the day.
It's so wild to think, like, this show's been around for so long. Like, they showed footage from 2006, which is when the show aired, but really it was shot in 2005. I mean, it's been like 19 years since this show has been like happening. Like, that's
because I've been in LA for a year, I think, when this came out. It's not crazy.
Yeah.
Young buck.
This show has graduated high school. This show is a freshman in college. It's unbelievable.
Congratulations. You've reached the end of part one of a two-part recap. For part two, go look for the recap that says part two. Mm-hmm. See you over there, suckers.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
We're fanning out for Bethany Fannin.
Put your hands together for Carly Clapp.
Dana C. Dana Do.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas. Jamie, she has no last namey.
Hava Nagila Weber.
Know Your Worth with Jason Kurth.
Sip Some Scotch with Jessica Trotch.
She's our favorite streamer, Caroline Peacock.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
Ringing the Funk, it's Leslie Plunkett.
Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino.
Let's get feely with Maggie Sheely.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger with out the Berg.
Cast a Spell with Shannon Spellman.
The Bay Area Betches, Betches.
And our super premium sponsors.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Let's Get Real with Caitlin O'Neill.
Don't Get Salty with Christine Pepper.
Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall.
We got our wish. It's Jen Plish.
She's not harsh. She's Jill Hirsch.
She's a little bit loony. Junie.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo.
We love him madly. It's Kyle Pod Shadley.
Let's Go on a Bender with Lauren Fender.
The incredible edible Matthews sisters.
Give him hell, Miss Noel.
Ring that bell for Rachel.
She's the queen bee. It's Sarah Lemke.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Let's Take Off with Tamla Plain.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kuchar. We love you guys.
If you like Watch What Crappens, you can listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music. Before you go, tell us about yourself by filling out a short survey at wondery.com/survey.